Welcome to Nerd Heaven. I'm Adam David Collings, the author of Jewel of the Stars, and I am a nerd. We're continuing to look at my list of the 10 episodes and movies that you should watch before Star Trek Picard. In today's podcast, we're looking at the Star Trek The Next Generation two-parter, Descent. The description on IMDb reads, "After an encounter with a Borg, Data feels his first emotion when he gets angry with a Borg. Data then tries to find ways to recreate the situation in order to feel emotions again." Part 2 of this episode first aired on the 21st of June 1993, and Part 2 first aired on the 18th of September 1993. Let's do it. This episode begins with the famous and rather fun cameo by Professor Stephen Hawking. Data is playing poker on the holodeck with famous scientists from history. Einstein, Newton, and Hawking. You can just see the joy on his face. What a thrill it must have been to guest star in an episode of Star Trek. I think we're all jealous. There's something weird about this episode. They show all the guest star credits during the teaser, before the main credits roll. Very strange. Speaking of the teaser, it's pretty effective. They beam down to a planet in answer to a distress call. Data opens the door, revealing a Borg drone. The mere presence of a Borg is enough to freeze the blood right in your veins. It's odd because the ship in orbit looks nothing like a Borg ship, and it doesn't seem to have the capabilities of one either. It very quickly becomes obvious that these are no ordinary Borg. They speak as individuals, show emotion, including concern for one another. One of them even has a name. But the biggest shock of all is that when attacking one of the drones, Data experiences a fit of anger and pummels the Borg's head into a wall. Data has just experienced his first emotion. Geordi raises a good point. How can Data know that what he experienced was an emotion? How would he know a flash of anger from a power surge? Then they try to define what anger means, how it feels, and they can't. My son will sometimes ask me to define a word he doesn't know. I often find that I can't. It's not that I don't know what the word means, it's just that it's such an intrinsic thing, I can't think of how to explain it to someone who doesn't know. So I understand this. The next logical question is, if this really was an emotion, how did it happen? That's a good question. And then Geordi raises the disturbing question. Is Data capable of feeling emotions other than anger? Admiral Nechayev mentions that the Gorkon will be her flagship. Nice little reference there to the Chancellor of the Klingon Empire from Star Trek VI. Also, Agamemnon is the ship commanded by John Sheridan before he took command of Babylon 5. I know, different universe. But then she grills Picard on his treatment of the Hugh situation. She was in favour of Picard's original plan to use Hugh to destroy the Borg. The moral questions of using him, once he started to become an individual, are of no interest to her. It seems that just like in the real world, not everyone in Star Trek's 24th century have the same moral code. Nechayev is much more pragmatic and cold. That kind of makes sense for someone who was in the higher ranks. The survival of the Federation and its member races are her priority. She doesn't feel that she has the luxury of a moral conscience. We'll learn later, in Deep Space Nine, that there are others in the Federation even further along that line of thinking. While I don't agree with Nechayev, I champion the inclusion of her point of view here. Early Next Generation lacked the boldness for this kind of conflict, so it is very welcome here. And then Nechayev orders Picard to defy his conscience. If he ever has the opportunity to do something similar to bring down the Borg in the future, he is ordered to do so, regardless of whether he feels it is immoral or unconscionable. That's a pretty heavy thing. Can you order someone to go against their conscience? I'm not sure how real-world militaries work in that regard, but if I was ordered to go against my conscience on a matter that I felt strongly about, I think I'd have no choice but to resign. I wonder, is Picard considering that at the moment? Picard later says to Riker that his previous decision may have been the moral thing to do, but not the right thing to do. What does that even mean? To me, moral and right are synonyms. If something is immoral, it cannot be right. I understand that what he's talking about here is the conflict between idealism and pragmatism, and that conflict is often very difficult to navigate. I guess that conflict is the making of all moral dilemmas, and I do love when stories explore moral dilemmas. Then Troy and Data have a fascinating conversation about emotions. Data sees anger as a negative emotion. He wants to induce a positive one. Troy says that emotions are not positive or negative. It's what we do with them that makes them good or bad. And she's right. She gives the example of someone getting angry about an injustice and being motivated by that anger to make a positive change in the world. But Data points out emotions like jealousy and hatred. Troy agrees very little good can come from them. Can any good come from hatred? Can you imagine a person for whom the only emotion they can feel is anger? Be kind of a scary person, wouldn't it? And then Data drops the chilling bombshell. When he killed the Borg, he felt another emotion. Pleasure. That's terrifying. It makes total sense that colonies will be very jumpy about the Borg right now. I get Picard's frustration with the continual false alarms, but I can't blame the people. I really can't. When Data's holodeck experiment fails to induce any anger in him, he throws the Borg away and his face drops into what is very clearly a mix of frustration and disappointment. Those are emotions. Is Data really feeling them? Given what we know about the source of his emotion in this episode, he shouldn't be feeling them. Is Data just simulating the appearance of an emotion here? I've always wondered. I wonder, is the anomaly that the Borg ships and the Enterprise travel through in this episode a Borg transwarp conduit? It probably is. Picard even refers to it as a conduit later in this episode. I also wonder about these ships. Where did they come from? Are they actually Borg ships of a design we've never seen before or since? Are they something these Borg recently assimilated? Croesus is very un-Borg. He has a personality, emotions. It's pretty clear from the start that he is an individual. And he's very manipulative. As he begins to talk with Data, we discover that Croesus's capture was all part of the plan. Croesus points out that if Data felt pleasure at the death of another being, he must be a very unethical person. Data counters this by saying that he has an ethical subroutine, essentially a conscience. This raises the question, is having a feeling, a desire to do wrong, itself wrong? Or is it only wrong when you take action based on that desire? Kind of comes back to what Troy was saying about emotions and how we act on them. This is a great scene. And seeing our beloved Data slowly descending into saying, yes, I would kill my friend Geordi to experience emotion again. That was super chilling. When they beam down to the planet, they're using some kind of colour filter on the camera. Star Trek sometimes does this, to make the exterior locations feel more alien. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It kind of works here. At first, it may seem odd that Picard puts Crusher in command of the Enterprise, as the rest of the senior crew join the search parties on the planet. But remember, Crusher is a fully qualified bridge commander. This is because she had a particular interest in getting more involved in Starfleet operations. This qualification isn't necessary for her career progression as a doctor, it's just something that she wanted to do. And it's a great opportunity for Gates McFadden to do something a little different with her character, especially in Part 2. When Data appears at Law's side at the very end, saying, "Together we will destroy the Federation," it seems a bit sudden. His transformation has felt quite logical up until this point. We see him struggling with his newfound emotions, the revelation that he felt pleasure, and his manipulation at the hands of Croesus. His admission that he would kill to experience pleasure again is horrifying and extremely out of character, but it makes sense given we know what Croesus is doing. We understand his motivation, because he wants to experience pleasure again. But now, his sudden desire to destroy the Federation, that seems a little more cartoonishly evil. What motivation does he have to destroy the Federation? Well, we'll find out exactly what is motivating him in part 2. And I can buy it, but it doesn't stop this moment from feeling jarring. So what we're seeing now is the aftermath of Hugh's re-assimilation. Just as Picard had hoped, that sense of individuality was transferred to the other Borg on the ship that collected him. The Borg all began thinking for themselves, disagreeing. This left them broken and vulnerable. They couldn't even fly their own ship. And that's when Law came along and offered to be their leader. I have a bit of a hard time swallowing what happened with the Borg. Why was Hugh's newfound individuality so destructive? Every life form they assimilate is an individual, but the collective suppresses that individuality and joins them to the collective mind. Why was Hugh any different? It doesn't quite work for me. But it does lead into an interesting story. When writing this episode, Jerry Taylor wanted to explore the idea of cults, charismatic leaders that get large numbers of people to follow them. In this episode, Law is very much that person. It's interesting how the two different episodes in this two-parter have quite different themes. Part 1's theme was all about the morality of emotions. Can emotions be good and bad, or just the actions taken in response to those emotions? Part 2's theme is all about this idea of cult and manipulation. One thing you notice that Law and Data regularly say when confronted with an opposing argument is, "You don't understand." Anybody who doesn't agree with them lacks understanding. It's hard to argue with that, because it's not actually an argument. It effectively ends the conversation. Crusher is very confident in command, but the same can't be said for her bridge crew. It's not their fault. She's been left with the newest, least qualified officers. Still, they rise up to the challenge. I like the stuff on the Enterprise in this episode. We get some good characterization for guest characters, which doesn't often happen. Crusher, Tate, and Salazar play off each other well, and it's a lot of fun to watch. When cult leaders like this talk about the need for making sacrifices to achieve their goal, the sacrifices are always to be made by others, by the followers, rarely the leaders. Perhaps they need to think harder about the meaning of the word sacrifice. To sacrifice means to give something up yourself, not to ask something of other people. The other strange thing you often hear is that the bad things they do are regrettable, but the greater good must be served. Picard calls Data out on this nonsense. How can an act that is wrong be considered a greater good? Law is transmitting emotions from his own emotion chip into Data's positronic brain. But he's only sending dark emotions, anger, malice, resentment. They're not his emotions, but they must be very overpowering. It's no surprise Data is treating his shipmates the way that he is. But it's more than that. Data is highly addicted to these emotions. When Law reduces them, he experiences immediate and powerful withdrawal symptoms. Add to that the fact that Data's ethical program has been deactivated, and you have a combination that makes Data very susceptible to Law's suggestion. I've never been addicted to drugs, nor have I known anyone who was. But as I understand it, those who are heavily addicted become very manipulative. They let go of their principles. All that matters is getting the next fix. It doesn't matter who you hurt along the way. So Data has been rendered completely amoral. He is filled with malice and anger. And he's a junkie. At this point, I can totally accept the believability of his behaviour. Data tries to practice his sense of humour on Geordi. The result is not humour, but cruelty. Given the limit of what Laura's feeding him, it's probably the closest he can get to approximating humour. And finally, we meet up with Hugh again. Hugh explains that they wanted a leader to dominate them. They were lost and without purpose. They needed somebody to help them. Sadly, the voice they listened to was not a good one. Law cared nothing for the Borg. He was using them for his own purposes. It got worse when Law started experimenting on the drones, trying to turn them into fully artificial life forms. It just goes to show, we need to be very careful about those that we allow to speak into our lives and influence us. We need to choose our leaders and mentors wisely. What Data is trying to do to Geordi is horrific. He's implanting artificial fibres into his brain, which are programmed to mimic his neural firing patterns. The plan is to eradicate his brain cells and see if the artificial brain takes over. Truly horrific. Man, Laura's manipulative. After threatening to cut off Data's supply of emotions, he gets Data to thank him once they're restored, putting Laura in the position of a merciful giver, and Data as the recipient of his gift. Fortunately, Picard is able to reboot Data's ethical subroutine. He's still an addict, filled with negative emotions, but he has a conscience again. Will it be strong enough? Hugh also has a lot of resentment and malice in him. He blames the Enterprise crew for putting them in the state that allowed Law to control them. I always found that pretty unconvincing. It was Hugh's decision to go back to the Borg, and he even said, "I don't want to forget that I am Hugh." But emotions are rarely logical. In any case, Hugh manages to push past these resentments and offer his assistance to Riker and Worf. Law turns down the emotions he's feeding Data as a way to try and incapacitate him long enough to escape. It's a potentially clever plan, but by removing the strong anger, it makes Data that much better able to resist Law's influence and be himself. So, the Borg are free of Law's influence, and Hugh is their obvious leader. Their society will continue to develop. I can't help but wonder what that community will be like by the time of Star Trek Picard. Descent is not really a Borg episode. There are no true Borg in it. It wraps up Hugh's story as well as Law's. There was surprisingly little Hugh in this episode. He doesn't even share any screen time with Geordi, his friend. It's been great revisiting Hugh's story. I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with him in the new show. It'll be interesting, that's for sure. Well, that's all I've got for you today. Be sure to check out my book series, Jewel of the Stars, at bookstoread.com/jewel, and that's the number 2. Next time, we're looking at the TNG finale episode, All Good Things, which will give us a glimpse of the future in which Star Trek Picard is set. I'll see you then. Live long and prosper. Make it so.